his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name, what's that name? Jesus. Can we say that again? Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful name? Amen. Above all the other names in this world, the name of Jesus Christ is still the most beautiful, the most holy. And I've said it last year. I preached here on close to Christmas on what's in a name. I said I wouldn't have the audacity to name my son Jesus. Amen. Because it's such a sacred thing. And the time that Jesus was born, that was a very common name. But ever since that He lived the life and had that name, He changed it forever. Amen. He truly did fulfill that name. God's so good. We're going to preach this morning, if God will help us, and I want you to follow me. I'm going to preach this morning on you're not the carpenter, you're just the tool. You're not the carpenter, you're just the tool. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank You this morning for all that You do for us. Lord, I would that You'd help us preach. And I know sometimes, God, we're tired in body, tired from the season that we're living in. And God, all these different things seem sometimes to damper and hinder, Lord, the true message and the true anointing of God. But I would today, God, just regardless of anything, just help us to obey You, to receive from Your Word today. God, give me clarity of thought and words. And I just need Your anointing today, Lord. I don't desire to preach without Your touch and anointing. I need You today. Let us feel that unction that only comes from the Holy Ghost. And we ask You today just to help us to serve You, to be faithful, to do Your will. And God, let everyone leave here today understanding this fact that they're not the carpenter, Lord. They're just a tool. In Jesus' name, we do love You and thank You. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Many of us would understand that when it comes to the Bible, there's, you know, in the Bible, I'm just talking to you in the beginning of this, that, you know, in your Bible, you've got those white spaces between the words. Everybody know what I'm talking about? And then, you know, you got them horizontally, you got them vertically, you got white spaces all in Scripture. It said, I read this, it says, the white space between Bible verses is fertile soil for questions, and that you can't help when you read the Bible sometimes to wonder things, and you're not adding to the Word, nor taking away from the Word, but you wonder at times what happened maybe to this character, what happened to this person, or, you know, different questions. I like what one writer said. He said, between those spaces, he said, I wonder all these different questions. He said, I wonder if Eve ever ate any more fruit. Amen. He said this, I wonder if Noah slept well during storms. He said, I wonder if Jonah liked to eat fish or if Jeremiah had any friends. All these different questions we look. Did Moses avoid bushes? Did Jesus ever tell a joke or laugh? Did Peter ever try to walk on water again? We don't know these questions and about all these different things. I know we can speculate and all these things, but the Bible through and through has so many different ideas and questions about what may have been and what may have happened. Now, when it comes to the Christmas story, all the different wonders that we have, I have to ask questions. And I wonder, just trying to put together the narrative and trying to listen to the harmony of the Gospels, all of the things that happened. I wonder such things like this. Did the innkeeper who was too busy to welcome Jesus, did he ever learn who he turned away? You ever thought about that one? I wonder if he ever learned, look, who did I turn away? I wonder the shepherds, did they ever hum the songs that the angels did sing? Amen? Well, actually, they said it. The Bible don't say they sang it. But I wonder if they ever hummed a tune or wonder or re-quoted the wise man who followed the star. What was it like to worship a toddler? Think about that. But when it comes to the life of Joseph in the Bible, I have so many different questions about this man, because oftentimes in the Christmas story, other than these nice nativity sets we have everywhere, you don't hear a lot about Joseph. You know he's in the story. He's there in the book of Matthew. It gives you more detail into his life. But often we focus on the wise man. We focus on the shepherds. We focus on Mary. And Catholics do that a whole lot. Amen. They focus on Mary. And we focus rightly on the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We look at Herod. But what about this man by the name of Joseph? Especially Joseph when we look at him. I wonder about him. You know, he was called for such a certain and unique ministry. Unlike anybody else. We can focus on Mary at times. But you know that Joseph's calling was just as important as Mary's, because you'll find throughout Scripture he was to be the protector and the facilitator and the one entrusted to raise the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we look at this and I wonder about Joseph, because other than the book of Matthew and Luke and the narratives we have in the Nativity story, and other than when Jesus is 12 years old there, we get a brief glimpse that he's still alive. But when it talks about the adult life of the Lord Jesus Christ, you no longer see Joseph in the Bible. We know that
it was the children that were born, which does away with the Catholic argument that Mary was a perpetual virgin there. All of that's wrong. But we don't see Joseph anymore. You ever ask the question, what happened to Joseph? Where did he go? Obviously, many people come to the agreement that most likely that he passed away somewhere along that time. And, you know, we're wondering the question, where did he go? Obviously, he was a righteous man. Did he pass away? Where was he? You know, obviously he was not there no more. How did he die? I wonder all of these questions. What happened to this man by the name of Joseph? Well, a kind of memorial service for him today, because we know he is dead by now, no doubt. And they hadn't had the resurrection yet. We're going to look at this man by the name of Joseph. We're going to look at him, and I'm going to try with the Lord's help to maybe answer some questions, to look at some things about this man. And today I want you to understand that this man who was a carpenter had to learn something. He had to learn that in the situation that God thrust him into, that he was not going to be the builder. He was just going to be the tool that God used. Now look at this today. You don't have to turn your Bibles, but it's in the book of Matthew chapter 1. We know that when Jesus, we know that the angel came to Mary, the great story there, and told her, and I know some of this may be going over in Sunday school or maybe different times in this Christmas season, but we know that the angel came to Mary and said to her, Mary, he said, look, you've been faithful, you've been a good young lady. And he said this, the angel said to her, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a child, even though you did not know a man. He's going to be the Savior of the world and all these different things. But with this, you have to keep in mind that Mary would need a protector. Everything, you have to understand the will of God is providence. And how things just seemingly work out when God is involved. All the puzzle pieces seem to come together. Mary was going to need a protector. She was going to need protection from different things. You would know that day, that at that time, if a young lady just showed up, it wasn't like America where we just praise those things, but if a young lady showed up and she was pregnant and without a husband, at those times it was something that it was very possible that they could be stoned and killed and put to death. But we know the story here that God was going to use Joseph to protect Mary. Also, we have to understand that God was going to use Joseph to fill the earthly role of a father for Jesus in his childhood. Have you ever thought about this just for a few moments? What was it like to be the earthly father of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, the questions come up. Did he ever have to correct Jesus? What can you teach the creator of the universe? You know what I mean? All these different things come up in our minds about the incarnation. What did Jesus do? And, you know, one writer said this. He said, I wonder if Jesus and Joseph ever arm wrestled. Amen. We don't know these things. Did he get on the ground and pray like a father would to a son? We have all of these great questions in the Bible, but there's certain questions we can't answer. And number one is this. Joseph was chosen of God. Just like Mary, God seen something about this man by the name of Joseph. He was a simple, hard-working carpenter who loved God. Of all the millions of men who ever lived, have you thought about this? Of all the millions of men who ever lived up to that time, why did God choose Joseph? What was it about him that God could look at him and see? What was it in his spiritual character that God highlighted and recognized? Was Joseph born for this? God must have noticed something about Joseph. He did not choose a king or a priest or a millionaire. He chose some man that was uneducated pretty much. A man that was a carpenter. A man that lived in a rejected town called Nazareth. Why did God choose Joseph? Now, understand this, because it would take a very unique man to do this. Joseph was going to have to live and think outside of the box. He could not no longer be bound in just by his Jewish heritage. He had to get past being the son of David. He was about to facilitate and protect the actual son of David, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Savior of this world. We look at this. Let's look at Joseph's dilemma in verse 18 of chapter 1 of Matthew. And you don't have to turn there. We understand this, that he was engaged to Mary. Now you have to understand, it was much different in those days. It was not like nowadays when you just walked up to a young lady and you bow down on your knees and say, look, I love you, will you marry me? And you're just praying that she says yes. No, that doesn't happen here. Hey, my friend, there's not bowing down on your knee. There was an engagement, and this often was arranged at times, even when they were young. Pretty much here, the parents were involved in the dating process or the courtship process of that day. Guess what, parents? You still should be involved, praise the Lord. Amen. Don't just send your daughter off with any bozo or loser who can't keep a job or you'll keep dress or act nice. No, you've got to find somebody you know that's going to protect them. And that's not degrading in any way, because God can work and help people. I know that. But you've got to have enough inception and vision that parents should be involved in the engagement process. That was the first part of a Jewish matrimony and process there. The next thing was the betrothal. This lasted a year. It was completely binding. The only way to dissolve a betrothal was this, was by a bill of divorcement. There was a time, we look at this in the Bible, you know this, that when they got engaged in a betrothal, basically it was just like they were married, except they did not live together and did not have relationship. They were at distance from one another. The young man would go to his father's house, and usually he would build a structure for it, sometimes even leaning against the father's house, build a structure that him and his wife in 1 year would come get married. Everything, it was set in stone that they were going to get married. The only way that you could dissolve that was either by death or by a bill of divorcement. Then was the third process of a Jewish wedding. It was the marriage ceremony. This transpired at the end of the year, the betrothal, and the marriage was consummated. So notice this, that Mary and Joseph was in the second stage of this, the betrothal process. Pretty much, they were married but not together. Basically, they were binding. They were together. They were going to get married in 1 year. How far? It must have been kind of far along in this process, because we do know that Joseph married her right before Jesus was born and all this. How long it was, it was midway. But we only can guesstimate, my friends, exactly where they were and how many months into it. But notice this. Notice the news from Mary. I want you to picture this today. Can you imagine? They are betrothed. Just basically, they know that they're going to get married. They know they're going to get married one day. But all of a sudden, can you imagine as Mary came up to Joseph one day and says, "Joseph, I've got something I want to tell you." "Yes, go ahead. I'm pregnant." "What?" I know we like to read the Bible and say, "Why do you act that way?" I can tell you why. If my wife came up to me and said she's pregnant, and I didn't know anything about it, I'd be a little frustrated. And somebody else was involved, that's wrong, that's bad. And it should be smiled on today. I don't care how society tries to make it normal. Never. Notice this. She came into him, "Joseph, I'm pregnant." Can you imagine the blast of shock and disbelief that hit this man? And he stared at her. He was numb. No words came. Everything just seemed to vanish in his mind. "What do you mean I'm pregnant?" And all of a sudden he's silent. He's looking at her. And all of a sudden Mary broke the charge of silence and said this, "I've got something else to tell you, Joseph." I bet he was probably thinking, "What do you mean? I don't know if I want to know this. I don't know if I can stand this. Joseph, I'm pregnant, but guess what else? Joseph is from God." Hey, think about this, my friend. Sometimes we look at this, and you know the full story, and God bless your heart for doing so. But enter into the mindset of Joseph as he's standing there, and his betrothed wife is looking at him. This probably looked made Joseph. She looks at him and says, "What I'm going to tell you, you probably will not believe, but this baby is from God. God caused me to become pregnant." He probably looked at her and thought, "You are crazy. You've lost your mind. Something's wrong with you. What do you mean you're pregnant? You're saying God is the one that said you, the one that got you pregnant. What do you mean? Don't even make sense. What do you mean this is of the Holy Ghost? What do you mean this is the will of God? Everybody's going to look at you. God would never use such a shameful source, such a shameful direction, or would He?" Now, I've read some writings. They said, "They can't believe God did this." I can. You know why? He's God. Do you realize God don't have to come knock on your door before He does something? Amen. God doesn't have to get your approval. Like I said before, it ain't nothing we vote on. But you know, when God does something in the heart or in the life of somebody, and He puts destiny and purpose in them, my friend, it's not me to judge the situation. But my friends, we got to be like a Joseph. We may not understand it, but Joseph knew how it sounded. This was strange to him. But guess what Joseph did? Joseph did not believe her. And do you blame him? I don't know if I believe her either. I thank God that we got this New Testament here. I probably looked and said, "Mary, I know the answer." But at that time, Joseph probably would have said, "Whoa, what do you mean?" Joseph did not believe her. He had a threefold dilemma that I can find in the Bible. Number one, he could not believe that Mary, so pure and spiritual, how could Mary do this? He knew who she was. He knew that she was a righteous young lady. He knew that she was a young Jewish girl that was wonderful and loved the Lord and kept His law. So he could not believe this. But then again, she's pregnant. It don't matter if you believe it or not. Everything about Mary's life is about to change. I realized something. I figured out over the years. Somebody gets pregnant, you can't hide it for too long.
I've seen people walk in that wanted to hide it. Month two, and so I said, what's going on? Not soon. Are you pregnant? Yeah. Oh, didn't know. So, you know. You can't hide it but so long. Eventually it's going to change the whole contour of your life. It's going to change everything about you. People are going to be able to notice. So notice this, that he could not believe that this pure spiritual young lady, but here that she's pregnant. And second dilemma he had was this. He could not believe the story that she told him. Pregnant of God? That makes no sense. So he has a twofold dilemma. And number three is the most binary, most probably hurtful thing. He had to deal with this situation for the sake of his name, for his reputation, and possibly even his life. If he did not deny this pregnancy, it looked like they did something that was illegitimate beforehand. It was coming down to a time he had to make a decision. So guess what Joseph decided one day? He says, you know what? I'm going to terminate this marriage. I'm going to terminate this engagement. He says, look, I know she's pure. I want to believe her, but she's pregnant. I cannot believe her story, and I've got to do something because everybody in town is going to pick up on it and say something about us and possibly even stone us if I don't deal with this. So here, Joseph is, notice this. His character is revealed to us. The Bible says that he is a just man. That also could be rendered a righteous man or a true man. He was a man who wanted to obey God and do the right thing. He was one of those guys, when you look at Joseph, he was a righteous, a just man. He was somebody that was not a bad guy. He was not somebody that was promiscuous. He was somebody that wanted to please God. He was somebody that wanted to be a friendly neighbor. He was somebody that wanted to serve the Lord and be faithful. But here it is. He said, look, I've got to do the right thing and serve a bill of divorcement according to the law. I wish I could take some of the blame. I'd almost take some of the judgment here. But he said, I cannot. I've got to write a bill of divorcement. Notice this. Regardless of his feelings, he acts upon God's word. Do you know he was obeying God's word when he did this? Oh my. So he's obeying God's word to divorce the one that God sent to him, the one that God had made pregnant, but is obeying God. Seems a little strange, don't it? Why would God act that way? Because he's God. I want you to understand this before. I like what Brother Todd Slager said. He said, think outside the box, but inside the Bible. Amen? There's sometimes you may not understand it all. You cannot take everything as it appears. You cannot judge a book by its cover when it comes to spiritual things. Because times, hear me, my friend, there are spiritual workings and spiritual dealings and spiritual situations that you don't have a clue of. You ain't got a clue what the Holy Ghost told Mary Joseph. You're just judging about this. I'm telling you, my friend, that God sometimes works and moves in ways that we don't understand. But guess what, my friend? You're not the carpenter. You're not the builder. You're just the tool in the situation. You've got to get that in your mind. You can't always square it off and plumb it off and put it together just like you want. God's going to build something. God's going to build His church. God's going to deal with the laws. God's going to deliver. But guess what? He's the carpenter and you're just the tool. Now look at this with me. You've got to understand this. Joseph was acting against his own feelings. Joseph did not give over to anger. What would it have been like if he had dragged Mary out into the streets before the judgment court there and had her stoned on the spot? He would have killed the woman that would bear the Son of God. But oh, thank Lord that God can find a man who is straight, who is righteous, who is holy, who is not just somebody that just does not think about things, but no. Notice what he does here. The Bible says, yeah, this is what he did. He said, you know what? I know I'm hurt, but I'm not going to give over to anger. He said, I'm going to make it a private divorcement. Basically, he was going to walk up to Mary. He was going to hand her the bill of divorcement instead of taking her to court and possibly getting her flogged or stoned or whatever it was. This shows us a man who's not controlled by his feelings. Now, you have to keep this in mind. He's a carpenter. I know Gene Firth is a carpenter. What I've learned about carpenters is this. They like doing things themselves. I remember I worked for a trim carpenter one time. I never could get the corners just right. He was a perfectionist. He was. He'd come in and say, hey. And he said, look, you need to shim that up a little more. You know why? Because he's a carpenter.
Here Joseph is. I just picture my mind as he says this. I just picture a prayer. Maybe he said something like this. God, my God. Now, I want to believe Mary, but surely you can understand. It's not easy. It seems so bizarre. I'm not accustomed to such strangeness. I'm a carpenter. I make things fit. I square up the edges. I follow the plumb line. I measure twice before I cut once. Surprises are not my friend of a builder. I like to know the plan. I like to see the blueprint. I'm a carpenter. Oh, how much are we like this? You always want God to show you the blueprint. And God is saying, no, you got to be content just being the hammer. No, we're always saying, look, God, I've got to know your full plan. You've got to show me before I take another step, before I do another thing, God. I want you to lay out a six-step plan. God, I want to know everything you're going to do. I want to know every twist and turn. I want to know this. And then God looks at you and says, man, listen here, Mr. Screwdriver. Be content with me just doing what I want to do. Hear me today. This is so important. Because some of you get frustrated because you don't know the full plan of God. Just obey Him. You just want to know, God, lay it out for me. I'm not obeying you. And guess what? God will go over you and He'll fill somebody else with the Holy Ghost. God will go over you and He'll use somebody else in the church. He don't have to have approval. Guess what He says? You've got to be content with just being a tool. You're not going to be the carpenter. You're not going to be the project manager. No, I'm God. Everything's possible with me. You're nothing but a tool. And you've got to be content with doing so. God, show me your plan. No, I'm not showing you. Just obey me. Look at what happened here as Joseph, a messenger is sent to him, lets him know that all is well. It says this. Notice this, it says, but while Joseph thought on these things, thank God for a man who is not hasty but meditates on decisions. It says he thought on these things. He thought about Mary. He thought about her character. He thought about what she said. And it says, while he thought on these things, that an angel showed himself to you. Do you know, hear me, I want to make a point here. Sometimes God can't show Himself to you because you're too hasty. I mean, you're going and going and thinking and thinking, and God said, no, no, no. You've got to sit down and think about it. You've got to sit down and pray about it. Notice this today. You're here, you see, you're thinking on these things, and the angel said unto him, he said, Mary, you're with me. He said, Mary, your betrothed wife is pregnant, and the son is of the Holy Ghost. He says, guess what, Joseph? You can marry her. He said, this child is going to be, I'll talk about it in a moment. He said, but look, this is the message to you. Now, look, she's telling you the truth, and guess what? To marry her, and guess what Joseph probably was thinking? Maybe some in his mind, I'm sure he believed it. But what if Joseph looked at that angel and said, look, that's not good enough. I want you to show me everything you're going to do. God didn't do that. He's still just a tool. Now, follow me here today. You've got to get this. This probably excited him knowing that he gets to marry his beloved Mary with the approval of God. Now, follow this. He's got the approval of God, which far outweighs the approval of man. Man's going to talk about him, don't you think? We joke around and call it. We call them in the holiness movement. I don't know, y'all probably haven't met some like this, but I've met a few. We call them calendar counters. When somebody gets pregnant, close to when they first get married, they start counting the calendar. I've had them come up to me and start looking at the calendar and say, you know what? I bet they got pregnant before they got married. And so I thought to myself, I bet there's some like that in that day. Probably looking at them and saying, oh, hey, this can't be Joseph. They're one of those that count the calendar, trying to judge and try to make bad of the situation. But this is the beautiful thing about Joseph here. He's got the approval of God, which far outweighs the approval of man. And here it is that God is enlarging his mind the possibilities that God was going to use this situation for the glory of God. Now, you've got to understand this, because then came the promise to Joseph, and this was the promise. The promise was going to be of a son. The angel said she shall bring forth a son. And notice this, this son's not going to be yours, Joseph, but it's going to be the Son of God. That's what he said, it's going to be the Son of God. Now notice this, this is Joseph's responsibility. Now here it is, the second person of the Godhead was going to be born as a child and raised in Joseph's home. He was entrusted to oversee the growth and the development of the Creator of the universe. Think about that. He was going to be the very facilitator and protector of this. As you move along, you must understand, this task was not given to a wealthy man. This task was not given to a rabbi. But like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 26 to 28, it says this, "And the base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen, yet the things which are not to be loved, the things which are, just when it's not by your wisdom, you're just a tool and He's the carpenter." Oh, hear me today, my friend. Because many times God's wanting to do things. And you're saying, "God, I will obey you when you show me your plan." And God will say, "No, you obey me and I will show you my plan." It's not about God somehow revealing everything to you. Notice this, the promise of the Savior. It comes to Him. This promise goes beyond the Son. It goes to a Savior. The angel explained this. He said, "You're going to call His name Jesus because He would save His people from their sins." This is the first mention. Notice this. This is the first mention of sin in the New Testament. And when He mentions sin here, He also mentions the name Jesus right beside it. And He shows us when there's sin, there is a Savior. He was letting Joseph know, "You've got a son. He's going to be a Savior." Then comes forth the prophecy. He says he's going to be born of a virgin. Notice this. He said, "We're going to call Him Emmanuel," which meaning God is with us. This is what God wanted Joseph to understand, that this is what's going to happen. He's going to be a Savior. He's going to be your son. He's going to be of a born virgin. And guess what, Joseph? You've got to obey me in this. What do you think God would have done, or the angel would have done, if Joseph looked at him and said, "Be quiet, you're crazy"? You know, some people have the audacity to look at God and talk to Him like He's a Sunday school teacher or a pastor. You better talk to God like He's God. He knows absolutely everything. Notice the marriage. And it says this, "To answer, he obeyed. With no more delay, Joseph married his heart's desire, Mary, regardless of the consequences, regardless of what anybody would think about him. He had to get past man's opinion. He had to get past small town Nazareth's mindset. He had to move into the will of God, regardless of what man thought. He obeyed. He restrained himself. He knew her not until the child was born. But notice what he did next. He named the son. And he named the son who? Say it again. Jesus. He named this boy by Jesus. This was his name. It would have been at least a year or so. Notice this. It would have been at least a year or so before Herod knew about Jesus. It would have been at least another year before the wise men came, 9 months to a year. But here it is. Here it is, a man by the name of Joseph. He's given to be named for the Son of God. He's going to be called Jesus. And that name Jesus means God saves. Oh, what a wonderful name that is, to know today that God still saves. That's the name of your Savior, Emmanuel. God's with us, but He's with us to save us. Now notice this. I want you to follow a few things. Because at this time, the name Jesus was a very common name. And we're not Jesus for 9 months to a year before we know they had to move to Egypt because of Herod's rage. You know, a lot of times we put the wise men at the nativity. That did not happen like that. It was 9 months to a year later. However long it was, we know it was a season. For 1 year, obviously, they lived there in Bethlehem from what we can guess. I mean, we're just speculating just all the details here. But we know this, that Jesus was a very common name. That pretty much, say they had a neighbor by the name of Jesus. They may have known somebody up the store by the name of Jesus. But I'm telling you, this one by the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He was different than everybody else in the block. He was different than everybody else in Bethlehem. He was Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Not for Him today. It would be a year before that name is recognized. And hell, Herod would try to kill all the baby boys. But guess what? Earth may not recognize the name of Jesus right then, but heaven recognized. It? Do you know the angels? They would have known Him by Elohim. They would have known Him by maybe El Shaddai. They would have known Him by Jehovah. But Joseph introduced something to the angels. Maybe they're in heaven wondering what they're going to name this little boy. We know Gabriel told them here. But notice this, the angel told them. But we notice this, that all of a sudden they named Him Jesus. This means that He's going to save us from our sins. Oh, what a name. Are you with me this morning? We look at this story, and let me move into the part I want you to understand. We all know the beauty of the story. We all know how beautiful it is, how God put everything together. But I wonder, do you think Joseph ever had any doubts? I believe so. Why do you think God had to send an angel more than one time?
Well, you think God had to give him direction and show him things. I wonder, I know sometimes people say, I'm sure Joseph never doubted, but I'm telling you, hear me today, I'm sure maybe he did not doubt who Jesus was or what was going to happen, but sometimes I wonder, did he ever question God or wonder about the circumstances? Can you imagine them having traveled 100 miles to Bethlehem? Here it is, got a pregnant wife, very pregnant, great with child, on the back of a donkey. Do you think that was easy? Yeah, you'll get out there in your car today and you'll put on your heat and air and you'll kick back in your nice seat and you'll kick your seat back when you get home. It wasn't like that for them. Picture her pregnant, riding on the back of a donkey. And I wonder at times, maybe, let's picture them now at the stable. Let's picture them knocking on the door at the end as they desire to go in there and find a place to stay. Let's picture them and all of a sudden, there's no room in the end. But all of a sudden, hear me today, you see, when you've got a stable all back, and here Joseph is, his wife's great with child, they're in the stable, it comes to the time for her to be delivered. Don't you think maybe Joseph wondered to himself like, I thought for sure things would be a little different than this. Maybe Joseph said something like this. Maybe he said to himself, I thought that the birth of his son would maybe be in somewhere a nice warm room. I thought the birth of his son would be with my family present, pat me on the back. I thought the birth of my son, his son, would be somewhere where there would be jubilation and joy and peace. Maybe some sort of announcement, he is the Son of God, but we're at a stable. Can you imagine the smell of animal manure? Can you imagine the bleeding of the sheep? Can you imagine that maybe the animals making the noise, the rustling of the cattle's feet, the hay, and they're having to make a makeshift manger, it's an animal trough that they would feed an animal out of, and all you can get is swaddling clothes, and guess what? You don't have money, you don't have nothing, you had to ride there on a donkey, here it is, you're in that nasty atmosphere, no doubt it's not sanitary, your wife's in pain because you're about to give birth to the Son of God. Can you picture maybe Joseph standing outside the stable saying, Lord, help me? Maybe you don't picture him that way, but I do. Because some of you haven't stood outside of a stable, maybe. But have you ever stood outside of a hospital room? Maybe you haven't. You ever stood in an emergency room? Have you ever stood by a casket? Have you ever stood at home and you looked at the bills and maybe this or maybe somebody passed away or maybe you stood there at a car wreck. Maybe you stood there at the death of somebody that you loved or situations that you stood by there and guess what? You're not doubting God. You know the plan of God. But guess what? You don't have the details. You say, Lord, I don't understand. You ever been there? It'd be a good time. Can anybody else? Is it just me? Can I raise my hand? Anybody ever been there? Hey, man, don't be so disconnected. Let's talk here. I'm glad we've been there. So you've never been there? Well, God bless you. And I hope I'm there with you one day. But guess what? There's been times that I went with my wife to the emergency room and we have loss. And I cried tears and I said, God, I don't understand. I've been there. There's been times I've held the hand of my grandfather who has Alzheimer's and I've shed tears. And I said, God, I don't understand. There's times recently I went to a funeral just this week and stood by a casket of a very good lady who loved the Lord, had a nice family, and her husband's sitting there. He can't even move his head. He's in a wheelchair and can't move. And guess what? I said, Lord, I don't see the plan. I know you're sovereign. I know you're great. I know your love for them and for me has not changed at all. You got a plan for this? But God, I didn't see this. Anybody else ever been there? God, I'm glad I got you down to earth with me now. I've been there. I've cried tears. I didn't understand. But guess what? I've also been to a place, just like Joseph here. I just see him and say, Lord, this is not what I expected. And he says, look, I'm not accustomed to this. That's what I read to you and said to you. Look, I'm a carpenter, Lord. I make things fit. I square up the edges. I follow the plumb line. I measure twice before I cut once. Surprises are not my friend. God, I don't understand this, God. But guess what, Joseph? This time you're not the builder. This time, Joseph, you've got to understand this. This time you're just a tool. You're a hammer in the grip of God. You're a nail between His fingers. You're a chisel in His hands. The project is not yours, it's God's. Maybe Joseph said, Lord, I did not think my son would be born like this. And then maybe Joseph would say, Lord, forgive me. He's not my son. He's not my son, he's yours. Church, I want you to hear me today. This is basically what I want you to understand. When you don't know what to do, the plan's not yours, and you feel like everything's coming to pieces, let me give you some advice. You're not the carpenter. You're just a tool.
Now understand this, when you're in this mindset, what can you do? Notice this. This is what Joseph did. All he simply did was this. He had to learn to obey when he did not see the full plan of God. He had to learn to obey when he did not see the full plan of God. He was obedient to God. He was obedient when the sky was black, when he was talking to an angel. He was obedient when the sky was dark. He did not let his confusion disrupt his obedience. He didn't know everything, but he did know this, that God had a plan, and God spoke to him, and God was going to work His will. As my wife gets ready to go to the piano, I want you to understand this today. You're not the carpenter. You're just the tool. As my wife gets ready to go to the piano, come on, sweetie. I want you to understand this today because this is what I feel in my spirit. Sometimes I don't feel like I relay it enough to everybody to get them to understand, but you can't make everybody listen. I know that. You can't make everybody be attentive. I know that. But I do know this. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. It's up to you to bring your best energies to God, your best energies to church, and to receive. Some of you need to understand this today. Understand this fact. Quit groveling in the fact that you can't control it. Quit sit there and groveling in the fact that you cannot control it. Joseph, I know you don't understand. Joseph, I know that you can't see tomorrow, but marry the girl is God's will. Do it. And if you'll do it, Joseph, I will use you. Now we look at this because I want you to understand the shift here. Because a lot of times we get so excited about Mary. And look, Mary should be commended for her faithfulness and what God used her for. But Mary was not the gift. She was just the box that the gift came in. She's not the gift. We don't worship her. We worship the Savior that came. And you'll notice this. Notice that this is what happened. That God began to speak to Mary at first, but all of a sudden you see a shift. And no longer is God coming to Mary in a dream. She's coming to Joseph. Because Joseph is now going to be the facilitator and the director and the obedient one to His will. Notice as Herod's about to kill the babies and God comes to who in a dream? Joseph. Notice when it was time for him to leave Egypt and come back. Who did God go to in a dream? Joseph. Because God found a man that would be obedient even when he did not see the whole plan. Stand to your feet all over the building this morning. I would say today and submit to you that God is still looking for Josephs today. Men and women who believe in the will of God and His plan more than anything.